Can you hear me now? Amen. I think, I'm not sure what key, but I'm going to try it anyway. I think it may be G, but I'm not sure.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, Lord, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hunger that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, Lord, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Yes, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, Lord, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Amen. And you know what? He's here to feed us. You know what? I've never went to God and had a desire that He's not met. And so if you have a need tonight, He's here to meet it. Let's all stand. Let's get ready to look into the Word of God. Y'all pray for me tonight. I'm kind of like Brother Dale. This is going to be, I think, the first time I've ever done this. Brother Dale, like, you know, he just preaches on whatever comes because he doesn't have a Christmas message. He doesn't have an Easter message, but, I guess I got a little bit of a Christmas message tonight. So, I think that's probably the first time I've ever preached on Christmas at Christmas that I can think of. But you know, I have preached on these things before. It's just when the Lord gives them to you, you know. So, you know, every day ought to be Christmas Day,
right,
and every day ought to be Easter.
That's right.
Every day we ought to, you know, every day we should honor the resurrection, just not on Sunday, but it should be an everyday occurrence that we ought to thank God, and we ought to thank God that He sent us the greatest gift that He could receive, that we could receive, and that He came, as the song said, He came from glory. He gave up everything to take on human flesh. And what a great and wonderful thing that is that you and I, that he came, that he can be our high priest. And so that he became me, who was sinful. He took on sinful flesh, that we could become what he is. We became the righteousness of God. And if that don't stir your soul, that's your spoons fell out of your bowl. Amen. So God bless you tonight. I don't want to keep you standing too long, so we're just going to get right into the scripture. Very simple thought, very simple title, and it's called Where Is He? And my subtitle is called Good Tidings of Great Joy. And that's something I want to speak about tonight. And I just happened to see something in the scripture, and I was listening to Brother Branham, and I'm going to get through this. But we have received a message of joy. Amen. So let's just all bow our heads and let's just all pray and just remember each one, all the needs. And God's mindful of each one. He knows what each need is. And we just go speak to him. He said, you know, ask that your joy might be full. So let's just speak to him this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord, to gather with those of like precious faith, Lord. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we just can't put into words what you mean to us, Lord. Lord, we can say that we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And Lord, we were unlovable, but Lord, you come to us. And Father, we're just so thankful to all that you've done for us, Lord, that you've brought us here. Lord, you've opened our eyes, Lord, to your word. Lord, there's many that are walking in gross darkness, Lord, but you give us light to see, Lord, that we can see. And Lord, as we speak tonight, Lord, we can see ourselves in these men. Lord, that we're walking and traveling, Lord, to see you. Lord, that's our desire to see more of you. So, Lord, you just come help us tonight. Lord, bless each one that has a need here. Each one has represented the needs that have been mentioned, Lord. I pray that you go and be with each one, Lord. Touch them in a special way. Lord, just touch us here, Lord. We can feel your presence here already in this building, Lord. And just help us, Lord. Just have the preeminence in the service, Lord. Help us get out of the way, Lord, that you may speak. Lord, for those that are listening in by the way of the internet, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them, Lord. Lord, that's some that'll listen in later, Lord. I just pray that you'll give them a blessing also. And Father, we just commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, which you already see that. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So, you know, when the angels and the heavenly host come to the shepherds, he brought them glad tidings of great joy. But when the wise men saw it, they also had exceeding great joy when they saw the light. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Is that good? One says yeah, one says. Okay. He's helpful. Amen. I just want to look at some things tonight here in the scripture, and you know, we're entering into the Christmas time, and you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time talking about Jesus, and you know, they say Jesus is the reason for the season, but you know, lots of times when you talk to people, it's not the way it is. A lot of people talk about it, but they don't actually live that kind of life. You know, a lot of people, you know, if you talk to people nowadays, it's all about, you know, what we're going to get and what we got to get and where we got to go and all those things. But you know, it is like Brother Branham said, you know, it should be a solemn occasion. It ought to be a holy occasion. And you know, a lot of people, you know, as Brother Branham always said so many times, you know, it's just become a commercial event in life. And you know, I understand that, you know, it's a great thing to buy gifts and you know, but I've always said, instead of just buying people gifts and trying to give things, it's more important to be a gift. And you know, if you can, it's not what you can buy with money, it's what you can give of yourself. Because you know, that's what Jesus done. Jesus came and he gave of himself. He gave all that he had. And you know, many times there's a lot of people in this world when you talk to people and even young kids and you see the situation that people's lives are in today, you know, a lot of people, they want to, you know, they ask, you know, what do you want? What would you like as a gift? And a lot of them will say, I would like to spend more time with somebody. You know, when somebody gets ready to pass away, you know, there's lots of people that's laid on their deathbed. And the last thing you ever hear somebody say is, I wish I spent more time at work. Lots of times it's, you know, I want to spend more time with my kids. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that. And you think things are insignificant. And you know, in this scripture tonight, we're going to see some things. And you know, things may look insignificant, but in somebody's mind, they were significant. They stood out to somebody, even though it looks insignificant. And you know, and so, you know, a lot of people, they just kind of blew it off, really, and as an expression, but you know, it meant something to somebody. And so it's the same way with you and I, you know, as we enter into this Christmas time, you know, it's not just about buying gifts and decorating your tree and you know, all those things, but you know, it's a time to really take a reflection on ourselves and take an inventory of our lives and wonder and just look and say, God, what do we need to do? And what do we need to change in our lives? What can we do to be a blessing to somebody, or what can we do to change things? Because, you know, it's a late hour and it's important to look at our lives and to see what we can do to improve our life or improve somebody else's lives. You know, many times, you know, it's all about, you know, you see lots of times with kids, you know, it's all about, you know, they want to write down their list and, you know, they just ain't got enough paper and pens and everything to write down all the stuff that they want. And, you know, sometimes kids start writing down all the stuff that they want, and Bill Gates ain't got enough money to buy all the stuff that kids want. But you know, the funny thing, but see, you know, it's, have you ever sat down and you thought about, you know, somebody that doesn't have anything? You know, when you have, and you know, it's this is a kind of a odd way, but you know,
you look at people and at this time of the year, and you know, there's kids out there that don't have anything. You know, they don't have shoes that fit. They don't have a coat. You know, there's kids out there, you know, they don't want the greatest electronic thing, the newest, greatest whatever, you know. They would like to have clothes. And you know, and it's a sad time, but you know, it's a thing that we ought to take inventory, and we should never lose the aspect of being thankful for what we have. And you know, you think, well, this is a little bit of an odd way of getting started, but you know, I want people to understand it, you know, because we have to understand that what God sent us as a gift was the greatest gift that he could give us. And the problem is we need to understand that what God gave us was the best. He gave of himself. And when he gave of himself, he gave it all. There was nothing that he didn't hold back. He gave up everything. And so you and I, when we become a Christian, when we become a child of God, then you know, we should approach it as the same way. We're supposed to give up everything. We ought to, as I preached one time, we ought to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have an idea of our own. We don't have a thought of our own. We don't have an opinion of our own. Why? Because it's all of God. So I'm not my own. I belong to Him. And that's the way we ought to approach this, is that, you know, I belong to Him. So I need to look to see what God, and to give up everything. Because He gave His all for me, and He gave me everything. And so, you know, we can't give enough to God. You know, Brother Ram said we can eat too much, and we can sleep too much, and we can work too much and all that. But you know, one thing we can't do is we can't pray too much. We can't spend enough time in the Word. And many times in our lives, you know, we get in a hectic way of going about things. And the one thing that we fail in times is we neglect our relationship with God. We put that on the back burner. And so, you know, now's the time is to understand, you know, God gave us His best. We ought to give Him our best. Because, you know, there's coming a day, and we don't know when it's going to be. None of us are promised tomorrow. But well, the thing is when we leave here today and we go, you know, we don't know when the Lord's coming. We don't know when we may not wake up in the morning. We may not make it home tonight. But the thing is what you've done for God is what you're going to have to give an account for. What you've done for God is the only thing that's going to count. How much money you have in the bank or anything else that you've accomplished in this world doesn't matter anything. What doesn't account for anything. Because, you know, a lot of people, they're out arguing and fussing over the land or all these things. But, you know, we have a promise one of these days that all this is going to melt with fervent heat. All this is going to be destroyed one day. And so, you know, the thing is in all these things, when we take a inventory of all, when we take a look at all these things, you know, the only thing that really matters is God and what we do for Him and what we do for the kingdom. As He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so I just want to say those things because, you know, it's something that means something to me. Because, you know, I when you approach a message, you know, and Brother Dale and Brother Wade and the different ones, you know, they can tell you, you know, sometimes you sit down and you have no idea what you're going to say. You sit and you wonder. And, you know, I don't want to sound like it's a pity party. I just want to express my thoughts to you. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you work all day and then you go home. You only got a few hours before you got to get ready to go back to work. And you're trying to get the mind of God and you're working all day. And lots of times, you know, it's just like hitting a brick wall. And at other times, you know, it just falls in your lap. It's just like the Lord just lays it on you. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, I mean, you're just amazed at what God speaks to. But you know, you want to be faithful in what God has called you to do, and you know, and just take it, and you know, you have to fight that battle. Sometimes it's hard. It's a labor intensive thing, and you know, sometimes it's just, man, I tell you what, the Lord moves, and sometimes you just think, you know, I don't know You sometimes you get to a point sometimes where you feel like you can almost rapture. I mean, you know, you just almost feel like you don't touch the ground. Because, you know, and you know, and so, you know, we understand that when we have, you know, we fight this battle, but you know, that's what we want to give everything that we have to God. We want to give Him our very best. We want to approach it the best way we know how. Because, you know, sometimes you get up and you wonder what you're going to say, but you know, I just want to be yielded to the Lord. I just want to be yielded to the Spirit and let Him speak. And then just look to see what He has to say, because, you know, sometimes I've gotten up here and the other brothers can testify that, you know, you get up to speak and all of a sudden you're surprised at what comes out of your mouth. And, you know, sometimes people think we're genius or something like that. Sometimes, no, it's just that we're a microphone. We're just the vessel that God speaks through. And, you know, and so, you know, as we approach this tonight, I want to speak about the Christmas story and understand this from a perspective that, you know, to understand, you know, to give all that you have. Because, you know, here's when you talk about this, when you start looking, you know, Brother Bram talks about the Magi, you know, the wise men when they came, you know, here these men are. And you know, Brother Brown talks about different things about their life and the, who they were. And, you know, when you look at what they had to go through, you know, Brother Brown talks about that, you know, here these men are, there's different things that he talks about. Number one, he talks about, you know, some of them he talks about where they were Mohammedans. Sometimes he talks about they came from the Medes and Persians. And you know, they came from the ancient times and, you know, they followed, all of these rules and even the ones that he talks about that came to see Jesus. He talks about them. They were actually Hebrews. He talks about, but you know, you see these men and they have looked for one thing, and that was they looked to see something. They wanted to see God. And you know, Here these men, and the one thing that you find out about the Magi when you study these things is, you know, God wrote the Bible in the sky, in the heavens. And you know, that's where they spent all their time. They, you know, Brother Ram talks about many times where he talks about it, you know, he called them astronomers. You know, they spent all their time looking in the sky and, you know, they studied all the stars and they knew everything that was going to take place. And, you know, they had this, ritual and, this process of going through everything every night. And, you know, they longed to see what, because there was something supernatural about what was going to take place. And it wasn't that they just went out every night and sat on the roof and looked at the stars, but you know, they actually believed that they were going to see something. Brother Branham said that the reason that God spoke to them is because they looked for it. They were all the time looking in the sky. Every night they looked and they studied the stars to know, because they knew that was where God spoke from. God showed signs in the heavens. And you know, even after all these, you know, hundreds of years or however long it was, these men had studied all these things, and then we understand that time went on, we understand that Daniel spoke and became a chief of the Magi when the king had the dream, and you know, no one could interpret, but they found out that Daniel was a very blessed man. He was very spiritual and he was very intelligent and he was blessed to know these things. He was a prophet and he could begin to explain all these things. And you know, he brought, Brother Ram said that Daniel brought to the Magi the word of the Lord. Now they had a lot of ancient writings and a lot of studying that they had done on their own. And you know, we know that the ancient civilization was a pretty amazing, civilization and all the things that they had. You know, we don't understand everything. So it's like them trying to, you know, them building the pyramids and a lot of different things that we've seen in the past that, you know, we're amazed at their technology and their understanding. And you know, and then when Daniel came, Daniel began to bring the word of the Lord to them. So when they began to look at the things in the sky and the heaven, they actually began to look at the word that God had written, and they actually began to apply this to the heavens. And they began to look at these things and they began to understand. So when they read what the prophets had written, they began to look for these things in the sky because they were going to take place. Because the scripture tells us that, I believe it's in Numbers where it tells us that the Bible says that out of Judah would come a governor, you know, the star would appear. There would star but come out of Jacob. And then when, you know, they began to look for these things that was going to take place. And, you know, they began to look at these things that were going to take place because they believed that, what was written to them. And they had, confidence in the God because they had seen what God had done. So they had confidence in what Daniel had said because they had actually seen what God had done in the past. And then when he had written these things, then they stood out every night looking. So they just didn't go out looking every night just to look at the sky. But they began to look to see for, look for God. And you know, many times, you know, people wonder why you're some kind of, you know, sometimes you're a little bit odd and a little bit peculiar about things. You know why? Because people don't see what you see. You know, why do you do the things that you do? Why? Because just like those magi, they went out every night and it was a ritual. Why? Because they actually believed they were going to see God. And so if you and I, if we approach it the same way, just like Brother Brown talked about, you know, people just come to church and we're just here and we, you know, we just sit on a pew, we just go through the motions, but do we actually come and actually meet God, want to see God? And you know, as Brother Brown said, you know, you find your quiet place, you get alone with God, you pray and you read your Bible and you look, and so you have communion with God, but do you actually expect Him to speak to you? And you know, as these men, they done this religion, it was religious to them that they always were looking to see God. They were all the time looking in the sky and they, you know, they began to look for these things that were going to take place. And it wasn't just, years went by or whatever, you know, however long it was, but you know, they kept looking to see God no matter whatever, you know, and they began to document the things that they saw in the heavens, even though, you know, whether it was significant or not, they were writing all these things down, they documented, and they began to search for these things. And you know, Brother Ram said, you know, they spent all their time looking, and so when all these hundreds of years they began to look and see, and they were studying these things, that when God began to speak and he began to show these things, then they understood what was going to take place. There was something that moved on them when this thing came to them because they had never seen anything like this. But they knew that God was going to speak. So, you know, he talked about, you know, how they were acquainted with all these things. And, you know, they began to look. And, you know, they had a place that they would go to, that they would look at the, you know, study the stars and all these things. And, you know, and so, you know, it's important that you and I have the same thing is that we have a you know, it doesn't have to become a ritual, but it has to have, you have to have a time and, you know, set aside time and have a prayer life and have a study life. And, you know, you have to have all these things. And, you know, like I said, you know, sometimes the world will crush in on you. Sometimes you just got to put everything else aside and don't worry about whatever else happens. But, you know, you have to spend time with God. And many people, you know, they worry about this or that. You know, well, if you've got time, that's good. But, you know, sometimes you got to lay the things of the world aside and say, you know, I'm just going to sit and I'm going to have fellowship with God, whether the yard gets mowed or the car gets washed or whatever. You know, you need to set a little time aside for God, because you know, whether the laundry gets done, the laundry will be there tomorrow. But you know, today is the day that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today's the day that you spend time with Him and get in the presence of God, because you know, that's more important today than all the things, you know, all the things that we can get wrapped up in today. It, you know, as we are, because if you know, God wants to speak to you, then you have to make time to allow Him to speak to you. You know, so here these men are that came, and you know, they were different religions, and as we said, and they had, but you know, they always studied and they had great respect for Daniel and the Word. And you know, Brother Brown said that in the message, a great shining light, they said, you say, Brother Branham, do you think that God would deal with those magi? He said, the Bible said in Hebrews, the first chapter, the first verse, God in sundry times and divers matters, all kinds of matters he spoke to the prophets. He said, it's also written in Acts 10:35 that God is no respect of person, but he honored those in every nation who desire to serve him in righteousness. Though you be in error, yet in the righteousness of the projective of your heart that you desire to serve God, God will honor that. So therefore, denominations has no lines that they can set that'll stop God to any certain creed, because God will look upon the motive of the human heart, and there he will work from that spot. So when you're speaking of those men, yes, no matter what they came from, that they had an honor to see God, and God honored their faith, and God had honored their respect to him, that he would speak to them. So when the time came that he was going to fulfill his word, and you know, he went out there and he began to show that, the star, and Brother Bram talks about how they were spellbound. When they went out there to see that light, after looking all this time, you know, all of a sudden this great light appeared. And, you know, Brother Bram said that people talk about it just being some kind of natural occurrence, or, you know, something that happened, some phenomenon or whatever. But no, it was a supernatural light that came. You know, Brother Bram said that, he said, when that light shone, he said it was only one place that it was shown, was where the Magi were. They were the only ones that saw it. He said there were all kind of observatories in the world and all kinds of people all around looking at the same thing, but they did not see that, because those men were ordained of God to see that, and God chose and honored their respect and honored their faith, and he showed them that star. And you know, because he knew what they would do when they saw the star. And he said they were so spellbound, and they all stood there and looking at this great magnificent light that stood there. Nobody else saw it. Even when they went on their journey, and Brother Bram said it took them 18 months to 2 years to get there. And here they are going this whole distance. And you know, there's observatories all along the way, and people all looking. Even when we're reading the scripture here in Matthew, and it asks them about looking in the star, where he should be born. And you know, they didn't see it. Even here was where the king ought to be, and it was in Jerusalem, and they didn't see it. And you know, here they are. And so when they began to express, you know, where is he born, the king of the Jews, when they showed up and they were looking for him, you know, the Bible tells us that Herod was troubled with that, and all of Jerusalem was troubled by their sayings. Why? Because they didn't see it. But you know, these men that were ordained of God to see it, they were brought into this light because the light shone where they were. And brothers and sisters, I can all testify to that, because you know, it didn't matter where you were in the world of darkness or whatever, in sin, wherever you was at, you know what? God still came your way. He brought the light to you. You couldn't, because if you're one of his, you couldn't get away from that light. Why? Because he was ordained. There was a day that light was going to cross your path. And those same men standing out there every single day looking in the sky, looking for that light, and that light showed to them. And as they were spellbound, he said the Magi stood there spellbound as they watched that light. And he said, you know, this is a magnificent token of something that's going to happen. And he said, when we come into the presence of the Lord Jesus, it's a divine token that something's about to happen. This glorious second coming is at hand. He said, and we look at one another and say, we see all these things. So when we see these things as they did, he said, and they looked at one another and they watched it all night to see what was going to take place. But then there was something that came to them beyond just looking at this thing and being spellbound. But then, you know what? They realized by reading in the scripture, hey, you know what? This is the fulfillment of the scripture, and the king of the Jews is to be born. So they saw this, and you know what? They did. So they departed, and Brother Bram said they quickly got all their stuff together, and you know, they were heading that way. And you know, they had to go on this journey because they wanted to see who this was. That was because here it was that no one else saw this. And all along the way, they went and you know, they began to speak to people all along the way. You know, they just didn't hold it in, because you know, I tell you what, when you see something that's glorious and great, you just can't hold it in. You're going to share it with somebody, even if they look at you like you're crazy. But you know, they had to go out, and they went out and they were preaching and speaking all these things. And you know, every time they'd come to an observatory or intelligent men or scientists or whatever, you know, they didn't understand what these men were talking about. They didn't see anything. But you know what? It didn't change the fact of what those magi saw. It didn't change the fact of what God had spoken to them, and that they, what they had saw, they were still walking and following that light. And you know, the scripture, Brother Bram talks about as they went along walking, you know, they were following the light. Well, you know, they couldn't walk in the daytime. They had to rest. So they were following that light, so they're walking at night. And you know, you think about this long journey that these men had been on, and as they go walking all this way, and here they are in the middle of the night, you're walking alone, and all you have is this one light in the distance that you're following, and you keep walking, and everywhere you go, people think you're crazy. But you know, it's the same way you and I, we're walking in a world of darkness, but thank God, God gave us light to see. He's shown His light on us that we can see in the midst of all this darkness, and people don't see these things, but you know, that's for others, but for us to walk in this glorious light. And they began to walk, and here they are as they're walking along. And you think, you know, the condition that they were in. Here are these men carrying all these valuables. All the, you know, when you're trying to walk at night, and you know, that's the most dangerous time, because you know, you can see a little better in the daytime, but you start walking at night and things get a little hard to see. And you know, here you are, you're going along, and you know, you got robbers and all kinds of, all these dangerous things that are taking place. But you know what? It didn't stop them at all. It didn't slow them down at all. They didn't stop, and they just kept on going. Why? Because there was something that was stirred inside of them, and they kept going all this way, and you know, they kept going, and you know, you think how they are just going along, and you know, That's a long time to be on the road, and you know, walking all this way. And you know, you look at a map. Brother Bram said that they came from Arabia and India, and you see all, and they came all the way to Jerusalem. And you talk about, you know, how they come from the east, and they all that way. You look and see how far that was, and riding on a camel, and you know, you think how many thousands of miles they had to travel, traveling at night, all the danger, all the things, and yet, you know what, something stirred in them that they did not leave, that they had to go see that. Every single night they were seeing that light. 2 years or you know, however long, they saw that light, and they were following that. That's an amazing thing, but you know, there was something that they saw that no one else saw.
Right.
And brothers and sisters, it's the same way with you and I. We see it because God has shown us a great light, and the world is groping in darkness, and people have walked in this message, and then they turned it down and walked away, and they spent all their time trying to destroy it. But thank God we still see the light. And you know, it doesn't matter all the dangers along the way, all the tolls that we must face, all the things, but you know what? We're still in the way. We're still walking. Why? Because we see this great shining light that's in front of us, and it's carrying us to the place that we want to be. And, you know, they kept going along, and you know, they come to see this child. You know, they come to see the King of the Jews, and you know, so many people were so, yeah, as Herod, you know, as they came to see, and they came to see this light, and you know, Herod, he was troubled by it. You know, and you know, you see all these things that took place, and Brother Bram said in the great shining light, he said, they come to give homage, they come to give honor to the King of Kings. And he said, and the church in its denominational sleep know nothing about it. They're strangers. And with these well-delighted beasts in this oriental tapestry hanging from them, the tassels. And he says, and Philion once said, they were not kings, but they were great enough to be honored guests of the king. And here they are sitting aback of these stately animals as they go through the street saying, where is he that's born King of the Jews? The Bible said that all Jerusalem and Herod was troubled. Their testimony stirred something. He said, isn't it too bad that the church can't arise out of its stupidity of its theological exercises to see the power of the living resurrected Christ in its glory as an illiterate, uneducated, interdenominational move is striking at the world. Come and see the glory of the living God. The Holy Spirit is falling just as it did at the beginning. The scripture must be fulfilled, and here it is at the end. So as, you know, as they were moving and they began to speak these things and people didn't understand and they were so educated and, you know, here they are, that this is the place where the king ought to have been born, because this is the kingdom. You know, the reign of the king was in Jerusalem, and here they are coming looking for the king, and here they are and they know nothing about it. Here are these people that are supposed to be the Jews, and this is supposed to be the greatest place, the greatest city of the Jews. Here they are, and they began to speak, and here these Gentiles come and began to proclaim this, and they have no idea what they're talking of.
Right.
And as Brother Brown said, you know, how, you know, people get into this, as they call it, stupidity, but you know, they get into this thing and not seeing that the move of God is taking place, and they're missing it. And so many people, you know, as they were troubled by it. And, you know, Herod was so wrapped up by this that, you know, it's so something stirred inside of him. And, you know, it's either going to be a thing of joy to you. It's going to be a message of joy, or it's going to be a message of fear and hate to you. Because, you know, that Herod was so wrapped up in this, and he had such a fear of this king, and he didn't even understand what was taking place. Brother, I said they didn't understand what was taking place. They misunderstood the Magi and the message that they brought. And when he came forth, that's the reason that Herod went out there and had all the children killed, because he was going to get rid of the king, and not realizing this king was a heavenly king. This king was not an earthly king. He was not a king of the earth. He did not want Herod's throne. He was not going to overthrow him. So, you know, there was none of things like that, because Jesus said, you know, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my people would rise up and fight. But see, you know, because here they are, when he come and spoke to the scribes and the chief priests and the different ones, they should have known who Jesus was when the Messiah came, when the child came, that what he was going to be, he was going to bring an everlasting kingdom. So it wasn't a kingdom of this earth, as we say, and we think of this natural human element, but it was going to be a supernatural kingdom that was going to last for eternity. And so he went out and had all the children killed. Because he didn't want to give up his lifestyle. And he was so afraid and didn't understand what was going to take place. But you know, he sent them, because when the scribes and the chief priests and everybody, when they looked in the word, he said, where is the king supposed to be born? He said, in Bethlehem. And so he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, go and send them and go and tell me of this word. And he said, when you come, send me word, and when you found him, that I may come and worship him. But he didn't have no desire to worship him. He was wanting to kill him. And you know, and that's the same way people are today. You know, you can receive the word of God and have a life. And you know what? There's people out there, and their whole existence is to get in your way. Their whole existence is to kill the influence of your life. There's going to be people that's going to stand in your way, and they're there to buffet you the whole time. But you know what? Thank God that God has sent us to overcoming power. You know, sometimes we will, you know, whatever comes our way, we have people that, you know, you work with them, they're in your family, you know, whatever, that, you know, they're just there and they just rub you the wrong way all the time. But you know what? It creates something in you. You can develop a complex about it. You can have anger, you can have resentment, or you know what? Or you can have love. You can have forgiveness. You can have joy. Why? Because you can overcome all those things.
Amen.
You know, some people, you know, they haven't got over what happened to them when they were younger. And, you know, they still worry about what took place years ago. You know, it's time to put all that, as Paul said, put all that aside. Amen. Put all that behind you. It's time to press toward the mark of the high calling.
Amen.
So we know that they understood. The Lord speaking to them when they went said that the light shone, they saw the star and it hung over where Jesus was, and they knew where to go. And it said they rejoiced in the light that they had seen, because they went all this time, but they didn't know where to go. But then all of a sudden that light shone exactly where they needed to be, and they rejoiced and they saw this with great joy that they had seen the place, and they began to come to see this one. Brother Ram says, He said the light had gone out. He said, you know, they'd given their testimony and all these things and began to speak about what was to take place. And he said, no one would tell them how to get to Bethlehem. He said, to walk out of the gate. And he said, they left the city of darkness and the light appeared before them again. He said, the star appeared and the Bible says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. He said they must have actually shouted a little bit. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were overwhelmed. The star had appeared to lead them to their final destination of their journey. So, you know, as they began to go, and here they are beginning to come to this place, and they, you know, as you look through the scripture, you know, everybody had to come to this same place, and, you know, everybody had to, you have to come to this journey. And they all come to, but there was always joy that was involved in this message. You know, when everybody had to come and everybody had to take something and believe something that was a little bit strange. You know, Mary had to believe the word even after she had heard the word all of her life. She had heard this word all these years that a virgin shall conceive. And you know, all the times that she had went to church and heard it preached and they were looking for a Messiah. But when the angel came to her, then she had to believe that it wasn't that God was going to fulfill that word, but he was going to fulfill that word in her. She was going to be the one that was going to fulfill that word. She had to believe that. You know, they all had, you know, everybody had to come to this place where you got to take God at his word, even though it doesn't, you know, no matter how unusual it looks or whatever it may be, but you've got to believe that it's for you and that you're going to fulfill that word. When God speaks to you, it's for you. Whosoever will, let him come. You know, because you know, it's a message of joy. And this message of joy, when you receive this, it's joy, but you know what? It's going to take something. And you're going to have to do something with it. You know, we think about Mary when she received this message, you know, here when Gabriel come and told her that, you know, you're blessed and highly favored above all because God has spoke to you and that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and that you'll receive and bring forth the Son that's going to fulfill the scripture and that you'll call him Jesus. And when she began to understand what was going to take place, now you have to think this young teenage girl has been visited by an angel, and all of a sudden, here's an angel standing before her, and she's going to understand what's going to take place, but then she's got to have faith to believe what's going to take place. And then she tells Gabriel, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, doesn't matter what's going to take place, the ins and the outs, or what's going to take place between now and then, that's up to God, but I'm just going to accept what God has said to me right now. I'm going to walk in the light of the word that's shining on me right now that I'm going to walk. Because, you know, like Brother Branham talked about when the man was talking about he had to go home and he was going to leave the church service and he was going up over the mountain that day and he was standing there holding that lantern. And Brother Branham said, you know, he said, I can't believe. He said, I have a hard time believing the things that you preach and the different things. And he said, well, brother, how do you get home? He said, where do you go? He said, well, there's the path up there that's lead up over the mountain that I will go up. He said, well, you can't see your house from here. You can't see the path from here. He said, no, brother. He said, but I've got this lantern in my hand. And he said, as I walk, he said, I see the path and I walk in it. And he said, so you're walking in the light. And he said, yes. He said, so that's the same way, brother. He said, we're walking in the light of the word. He said, so the days of miracles haven't passed and all these things. Why? Because we're walking in the light as he is in the light. And he began to express the light. And as the light begins to shine, then we walk in that. Here's a young girl that's taking on, 800 years of a prophecy that's been laying in the scripture, and now it's beginning to be fulfilled. And you know, she is the one that's going to fulfill this. And sometimes, you know, you and I, we look at things that God has said about us, and sometimes we actually wonder if God's actually speaking to us. We actually live below our means because we won't accept what God has laid before us, what God has given to us, and he tries to give it to us, and he tries to, as Brother Ann said, you know, he tries to lay out everything in front of us to get our attention, and you know what, we fail to believe it. But we should be like Mary and say, be it unto me according to thy word. And you know, we should walk in the joy of the Word, because you know, the Word has joy to it. And if, and you know, here comes Mary, and you know, Mary just didn't sit down when she received this Word. Mary just didn't sit around and go around about her business. You know what? She had to go tell somebody. And her name was Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had to go see a woman, and it was her cousin. And you know what? She just had to wait. She couldn't just sit and didn't wait around to tell her. She said, you know, I got to go, and here I go. And so she had to go tell somebody. And she got to Elizabeth to tell her of what had taken place. That the angel had come and visited her and told her that I'm going to receive a child. And it's not, and I've not known a man, but God is going to give me a child that's going to be the fulfillment of this scripture. And as she began to explain this, and she said, then the angel Gabriel told me that his name shall be called Jesus. And when that took place, the scripture tells us that Elizabeth had been wondering about John. John was in her womb for 6 months and hadn't moved. But you know what? Elizabeth said, at the name that you spoke, when you spoke Jesus' name, she said, my baby that's in my womb has leaped for joy. Amen. And then she began to speak and praise God for that she had received the Word that was going to bring her Lord to her. Amen. The fulfillment of the Word. And you know, it, you know, brings joy. And you know, there's the day that, you know, when Luke, in the scripture there, when the angels came and spoke to the shepherds and they began to speak to them, you know, here they are out in the field and just, you know, watching over the sheep and everything. And then here they come, the angels and the heavenly hosts began to speak to them and tell them about what was going to take place. And said, you know, it's glad tidings of great joy unto you shall be all to all men, said, because today, this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then, you know, they began, and the angels began to worship and praise God for what was going to take place. And even the shepherds were moved by what was taking place. And you know, they were, you know, kind of beside themselves in the midst of all this that was taking place. And you know, when they sat there, you know, they couldn't even sit there by themselves, because after the angels had departed, the scripture tells us that when they stood there, they were so moved by this message that they had received that they spoke to one another and said, well, we must get up, because the angels told us, he said, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe laying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. So it was for them to go find him. And you know what they said? Well, why are we sitting here any longer? Well, it's time to go see the Christ. Well, because he began to speak to them. And you know, as they went and they began to journey, not everybody saw that. Not everybody had been spoken to. But you know what? Here they are, these shepherds. They began to go see the Lamb of God. And as they were going, you know, they had a message that no one else had. He didn't speak to everybody. But here they come looking in there. And you know, it's pretty astounding, you know, because, you know, it doesn't tell us anywhere that they knew what to look for. It doesn't tell us that they ever saw anything. So can you imagine? Here's these shepherds come in the night. They start walking along, and all they're doing, you know, well, where if you're a shepherd, where are you going to find a sheep? You know, they're not knocking on the hotels and the inns. Something had to tell them, if they were shepherds, to go find a lamb. Well, you know what? That wasn't the only place that they had animals in Bethlehem that night. So you know what? Here they are going along, looking in little caves and little stables and little barns and everything, looking for a baby laying in a swaddling, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. But you know, they kept searching, and you know, they began to look, and they began to search, and you know, they began to spend all their time. But you know what? They finally found the sign that they were looking for. And when they saw the sign that the angels had given them, then they began to rejoice and praise God, because they saw all these things. And you know, you think about this, you know, here these insignificant people were standing before Mary and Joseph, and they began to express their rejoicing, and they were overflowing with joy because the angels had spoken to them and it became manifest before them. And you know, you think about things that are insignificant in your life, but the scripture tells us that Mary took these things into her heart, because you know, she had to have faith to believe that this was going to take place, and she was the only one that knew about it. There was nobody. There was nobody else. When she received the message from Gabriel, there wasn't a group there. She was by herself. She had to receive that. It had to be an individual affair to her. And you know, she had to hold on to that and believe that God would bring it to pass. And then the next thing, you know, God spoke to Joseph in a dream. But you know, she had to believe that by herself. She's the only one that had that. And then here all of a sudden, in the midst of this, after she'd been on that long journey, she had journeyed all that time from where Nazareth to Bethlehem on that little donkey and walking all that, you know, going all that distance and having a child and going through all that. And yet she come in the midst of all that. And here she is in some little manure pile, little nasty little place over here in a cave somewhere, having the Son of God. Here's God in flesh, and here she is giving birth to him, and you know, nobody's around. But then all of a sudden, here comes these shepherds to her to see that. And you know, you think it's weird, it's insignificant maybe, you know, but you know what? It wasn't insignificant to her. Nope. It was something because it meant something to her. Why? Because it was what she had been looking for. And here it was confirmation and other people that began to speak of these things. And here she is, you know, even though she had a bad name and people didn't want to associate with her. And you know, they didn't want to, they thought she had a bad life and all these different things. And yet here it was, here's this little child that she has. And after having to take the scorn and the ridicule all those years, and yet here comes the Magi, the wise men that have traveled all those thousands of miles all the way across the Europe and Asia and everything, all the way over to come over to where they were to bring them a message, and here they are, and all the things that she had to go through. When Jesus was 8 years old, and she had to take him to the temple to fulfill the law, and Simeon was in there waiting on him. Simeon was there to, because you know, God had spoke to Simeon, and Simeon was there, and he said the Lord said I wouldn't pass away that until I see the Lord's Christ. And he stood there, and you know, he held him in his arms, and he said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, because I've seen the glory of Israel. He said, I've seen your salvation. Amen. I've seen what you promised me. And everybody else in the temple saw a great man, a great priest. A lot of people had a lot of respect for him, but they thought he was losing his mind. But you know what? It meant something to Simeon. And then when Anna was sitting in there, and the blind prophetess, and she began to speak. And here it was, they began to speak, and it meant something to Mary. Well, it might have been insignificant to everybody else, but it meant something to her. Amen. It was something that was real to her. It was something real to Anna. It was something real to Simeon. Yeah. And it was something real to these wise men as they came along and they went all this journey. As they journeyed all this way. And John tells us in 3 John 1:4, it says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. There's no greater joy than walking in this word. And you know, as you carry this message, you know what? There's a joy that comes with it. And you know, as every one of them, as they began to walk and they began to experience and they began to see the things of God, there was a great joy that came with it. And brothers and sisters, if you don't have that joy tonight, I feel sorry for you. But there's a place that you can come to, because you know what? We've received the tidings of great joy. We've received the tidings of this message, and this message has brought us joy. Well, because God has brought us Himself. And you know what? One of the fruits of the Spirit is that we have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because we've seen ourselves in the Word. You can walk all the nights that you have to, and nobody else sees what you see. And you can have your struggles and your problems and everything. But you know what? There's a great shining light still standing before you, showing you the way. Amen. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, we see Christ in the Word. But I tell you what, one of these days, we're going to see, just like those Magi as they came that night and they stood there, that we're going to see Him face to face. Glory. We're going to be changed because we're going to see Him, because we'll be like Him. Glory. We're going to be able to see Him, stand face to face with Him. Not just see Him in the Word, but we're going to see Him in His fullness. As they stood there that night, and they began to worship and see these things. And they, when the Magi came and they stood before Him, and they began to identify, they began to tell their testimony. Their testimony was in their gifts. It meant something to them. All that way they came and they brought their gifts with him to identify who he was. There he was in the cave, in the dark, in the dungeons, in the dampness with the animals. But they had a message to bring. And here they are as they came all that way and they brought in the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, identifying who he was. When everybody had talked about it and all the ridicule and all the scorn and all the other things. And yet there was the God of heaven and they began to bring their gifts unto him and they identified who he was. Who was he to him? To them. He was God becoming flesh to be a sacrifice to death. That he would become a sacrifice for all men. That he would be this Jehovah in flesh. That he would come and he would give up his life that you and I could receive eternal life. Deity dedicated to death. Deity, God in flesh. He had come just as he said he would. And brothers and sisters, we receive that same message. Who is he to you tonight? Our gifts identify him in our lives. Have we toiled and struggled? When it doesn't look like it means anything. When it doesn't look like it goes anywhere. When you feel like you've spun on your wheels. And your prayers don't get any higher than the ceilings. But you know what? Somebody sees that. And brothers and sisters, it's our job to make him known. It's our duty to make him known, to show the world he lives. Not that he was just some display in somebody's yard or in front of some church somewhere. Some little nativity scene somewhere that he came. But you know what? He didn't come just back there 2,000 years ago in that cradle, but he came that he took up residence in the hearts of men and women, and he became, that we became sons and daughters. It's not what took place back then, but to show the world that he's still alive today, that he's still here, and he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we identify ourselves with him? Brother Branham says, this is from the message, Why Little Bethlehem? He says, what we need today is a fresh pouring out of the Holy Ghost upon hearts that's humble. He said, we need a real Christmas, a birthplace. He said, if you could realize that you're nothing but a stable. God didn't go to Jerusalem, to Shiloh or Ramoth Gilead. He came to a stable that was polluted. When you let God you become and realize in yourself that you're nothing but a stinking stable. But welcome, open your doors when these great big places and inns are turning him away. Open your doors of the manger of your heart and let Jehovah come in to that. Watch what takes place, for he is the Word. He said, if ye abide in me and my word in you, he is the Word. Let him come into you and watch what takes place. Glory. Then ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. Amen. Amen. So let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. But you know, all these things, and they began to look for him. I was thinking about where Nathanael, you know, Philip went to Nathanael. After he had met Jesus and he came and he told him, he said, we have found him of whom the prophets had spoken of. And he said, who is it? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he stood there and he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Brother Brown said he gave him the best answer he could give him. He said, won't you come and see? And you know, when he went, and not knowing what was going to take place when Nathanael come in into the presence of Jesus. He said, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. You know, he was so moved by that. He's like, Rabbi, when did you know me? He said, oh, I saw you under the tree before Philip come got you. I knew what you were doing. He said, you're the king of Israel. He began to speak and he began to express to him who God was, who Jesus was. And brothers and sisters, that's the same way with you and I. We should be so full of God, full soul, full of the Holy Ghost, that the world can see Jesus Christ in us. The world ought to see us. It shouldn't have to be that you got to tell somebody you're a Christian. People ought to know that you're a Christian. God, you know, I want to be so full that the world can see that the world can't tell us apart. They don't see Aaron Roberts, but they see Jesus Christ. And the people say they don't believe. You know, there's people that they don't believe the scripture. They don't believe things. Well, you know what? You come and see.
Right.
You come try it one time. You know what the thing is as Spurgeon was talking about, you know, he said, you know, there's nobody that's ever received Christ in all their years and ever regretted to live about it, to tell about it. You know, nobody's ever taken God at His word and ever regretted it. Because you know what? You take God at His word and He'll manifest His word. He'll prove you what's the truth. He'll show it to you. And so we have received a great shining light. We've received this message of joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, the world doesn't see it, and the world can't see it. The world, you can't explain it to the world. You can't explain it to anybody. You can do whatever you want to, but they'll never see it until they experience it. And I thank God for that we've received it. And so, you know, when we speak of this, of the Christmas time, I thank God that He's come to us, that He came to me. It's the greatest gift that we can receive. And if you want to give a gift to somebody, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the new birth. Explain to them about how Jesus can change your life. What a life-changing experience. No, it's not a book of rules. It's not just do's and don'ts. No, there's a life behind it. There's a life that lives inside of you that nobody can explain. And so people say, well, you know, do you have to do this or do that? No. I don't have to do that. I can smoke all the cigarettes I want. I can drink all the alcohol I want. I can go to all of the immoral places that I want to. I can do all kinds of things that I want to. The problem is I ain't got no want to. And you know, the thing is people get so wrapped up and they're so worried about everything and they, you know, all kinds of problems in their life. You know what? There's a place that you can go to and you can roll all your cares upon Him. He said, because He cares for you. You know what? I don't have to carry my burdens. I got somebody that'll carry them for me. And then lots of times, you know, the problem is He's talking to me and trying to tell me to give up my burdens and give Him up my problems. Why? Because He can fix them. He can solve them. He's got an answer. But the problem is I got to get my hands off of them. I got to get out of God's way. And if I get out of His way, then He can do something for me. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing a song, brother. If you have a need tonight, we'll be able to be happy to pray with you. Amen.
New arise, Spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me joy. salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit
within me. Spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
Heavenly Father,
I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
God bless you tonight. So remember, Sunday, one service, and we're going to be heading out. And follow somebody. They got directions somewhere. For a modern stand, it's not hard to find. But if you're easily lost, follow somebody. Somebody can follow their nose, but other, you know. Yes, right. Some people can't find their way out of a wet paper bag, as they say. But we're not pointing any fingers or calling any names. Right. God bless you tonight. Appreciate you, each one of you. Love you, and thank you so much. And just pray for each one, that, and remember each one, that, and the ones that are sick and the different ones. And,
right.
But God's still a great physician. No matter how bad it gets or whatever.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Right.
Hey there.
Yes, sir.
He's a, I've told people before, when years ago when Brother Dick had cancer, and I got so burdened, and I was riding in the truck that time, and it's just, I couldn't get away from it, and I was just praying. And it just something laid all over me. And it may not mean anything to you, but I was going down the road and the Lord spoke to me and he told me, he said, Lazarus was laying in the grave for 4 days. He was dead. He was rotten. And he said, I raised him up from the ground. I resurrected him. And he said, Brother Dick ain't that far along. Well, it may not mean anything to you, but it meant everything to me.
Right.
So, you know, when things get bad sometimes and it looks bleak, and you wonder what's going to take place. We may not see that. It may look difficult to us, and we say we may not have been down that road before. But you know what? I'm so glad I got one. He's been down that way before. He's already got the answer. He's already went through. He knows what's going to take place on the other side.
Glory.
As the song says, he already sees the rainbow. Glory. When all we see is clouds. We see the storm clouds, but he knows there's a rainbow on the other side. So God bless you tonight. I appreciate all of you. Love you. And as we go tonight, we'll dismiss the word of prayer. Get Brother John, if he doesn't mind, dismiss his brother.
Precious Lord Jesus, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, just to bring this message to us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your gift, Lord Jesus. Oh God, bring in your word to your children, oh God, and bring in us that light, Lord Jesus, to help us know that we're on the right path, oh God. Lord, I pray you continue to be with each one of us, Lord Jesus. Continue to draw us closer to you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, you are our comfort, Lord. You are our God, Lord. You are our shepherd, Lord Jesus. We just thank you tonight. Father, I pray you be with each one of us, Lord, as we leave and go our separate ways, Lord. May your Holy Spirit be with us, Lord, through the rest of this week, Lord, throughout this season, oh, God, throughout this time. Father, help our minds to be on you, Lord Jesus. Continue to draw us closer to you, Father. Lord, we love you. We pray you keep us safe and sound, Lord, until we're back together again. May you watch over us, Lord. Bless our brother tonight, Lord, for his sacrifice, Lord. Keep him, bless his family, Lord, all the minister brothers, Lord. Bless him, our pastor, Lord, his family, his wife.
Yes.
Bless him, strengthen him, Lord Jesus, we pray. Father, we commit all these things into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.